Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You want me to say it? He's fast. One of the mantras for the Miami Dolphins, will they be going to add to their bushel basket of speed in the 2024 NFL Draft? I'm Chad Parsons. Welcome to Under the Helmet, official show of UTHDynasty.com. Let's continue with our preview of the NFL Draft upcoming for these NFL. Our way through round one. And the Miami Dolphins, again, they said it with Chase Claypool. That transaction did not end up working, but they took a shot. Why? You want me to say it? He's fast. Why not Xavier Worthy in round one? Why not? They're at 21. I think Xavier Worthy actually might be gone by 21 overall. They only have a first and second round pick, no third round selection here for the Dolphins. And you can make an argument across the board. I could see quarterback, an argument where you say, hey, you've got a quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. Maybe they're not so sure about him. Fantasy-wise, limited ceiling here. We saw him lead the NFL in passing yards and yet was a low QB1. There's not much rushing upside. There's not much playmaking upside here for Tua. And now they're going to pay him $50-plus million coming up in the next 12 to 18 months. Oh, I wouldn't feel good about that as a team-building organization in the NFL. So Mike White back up, but we could see round one, round two. They just bring somebody in, someone that can develop, maybe be a long-term backup if Tua is their option, but someone that, hey, in the perfect storm, maybe they do pass the torch. So I think that's a key storyline to watch. Running back, Devon Achan is subsized, and we got a 30-plus-year-old Raheem Mostert, easily so. Is he going to last? Is he going to hold up? And then you got a subsized running back 1B in Achan. So I think that's a sneaky spot, number 55 overall. What if they go speed at the running back position there? You've got Jonathan Brooks, you've got Trey Benson, both with strong speed profiles there that could easily go around 55 overall. And then wide receiver. Wide receiver 3 has been a glaring hole in my mock drafts along this way in my exercise here for projecting skill positions to NFL players. I gave him Roman Wilson in the second round at 55 overall. So again, I think a really good fit there in the wide receiver 3 spot. They've been bringing in tight ends for some of their top 30 visits here as a team. I don't buy it. I love the addition of Jonnu Smith here, but I also know that this is a team that has largely ignored tight end between Mike Gesicki and Durham Smythe in recent years. It's basically the two big wide receivers in this market share passing game, and then not much else is left to survive. It just dies on the vine there as their tight end one. So color me skeptical that they really splash the position outside of some crazy scenario where Brock Bowers, who is not going to make it all the way to 21 overall, if they were to trade up or something like that. But I think Jatavion Sanders is a little overcooked if you take him in the mid to later second round. This was some of the depth we're going to see in round 3 and round 4 of the position. Philadelphia Eagles also in the later first round here, 22 overall, and they got a bonus second round pick. So 50 and 53 there, so could have some fun, but they don't have a lot of skill position needs. This is the team that generally drafts on the lines. They look ahead in terms of potential and future free agency here. And they have stockpiled, you say, backup quarterback. Is that a need? No, not really. Brought in on a cheap trade, which cost them their third round pick, bumping back in the draft there for Kenny Pickett. I actually like Tanner McKee just a little bit as a developmental QB3, had prospects there to potentially be the QB2 before Kenny Pickett was added. You also look at Saquon Barkley being added for a splash running back one. I would point out, let's not rule out running back two here. Sub-sized Kenneth Gainwell, who they like more than I would like, but a receiving-centric guy that offers something there in the running back two role, but I view him as more of a de facto option. They've taken some shots, guys like Rashad Penny, Trey Sermon, in the running back two, three, four roles. They are gone as of now. So again, I think a back of size running back three with potential to rise up the depth chart. And I think for us in Dynasty, an interesting addition when you look at the injury away landscape, that it might not be Kenneth Gainwell when we get to the big pivotal midseason and later season weeks here, and Saquon Barkley were to go down. Wide receiver, they just locked up Devonta Smith on a big contract, extending him. You've got A.J. Brown under contract. But wide receiver three is in play here, where you look at a strong depth chart, but you say, hey, if one of them goes down, yes, upside for the other, but man, they have had a relative black hole at wide receiver three plus for some time. And I think a rookie contract resetting the scale here is what you need for that low-level contract when you got two guys making big money ahead of them. And then the other thing is maybe planning for the future at tight end. Dallas Goedert's a sneaky 30 years old, and this is a good class. So this is one where round two, but I also think day three is going to be something that potentially there for the Eagles. And that would be something, again, more for a taxi squad spot in a tight end premium format. Probably not a lot of stock format, 3-4 round rookie draft interest there if they do take a developmental option at tight end. Dallas Cowboys, dare I say, a potential quarterback could be in the cards for them. They have their stock selections here, round one, round two, round three, here in the early rounds. And let's look at the landscape. Dak Prescott entering the last year of his contract, playing a little chicken here with, is it player versus team? Typically, Dallas has lost. They have had to pay extra money in the past, and Dak Prescott is a little baby Kirk Cousins here in terms of handling his contract on the shorter variety, more bites at the apple to reset at the higher parts of the market. He's going to be due $50-plus million a season when we get to this new contract. However, they have backfilled a little bit. Cooper Rush has filled in admirably, and we have Trey Lance, who was brought in that, again, skeptical that we ever see him a full-fledged and trustworthy starter, but a man, a prospect with pedigree brought in on the reclamation tour after he flamed out with the 49ers organization. But again, I think the Cowboys, the tractor beam focus here is the running back position. One of the highest needs in the entire NFL. And really, this is the position and team, especially if you get round two pedigree there at 56 overall, potentially running back one off the board, that it can quake the high end of rookie drafts. I don't care the format. This is one where if you get a prominent player going, especially with pedigree, but even if it's round three, round four, we're going to see the Dallas Cowboy landing spot move the needle. They brought in Royce Freeman on a low-level deal. They have Rico Dowdle back. But again, this is jostling for running back two, running back three status. There is big-time upside right away, year one, from an incoming rookie with a profile. So that's the big thing to look at. All the tea leaves, you know, we want to connect the dots and say local kid, Texas product, Jonathan Brooks would be there. And a lot of thumbs up with Jonathan Brooks during this draft process that, you know, he's on the right track in terms of his recovery from a significant knee injury this past year, not able to work out, but I'm very comfortable projecting him as a 4.4s or even faster player with his max speed, miles per hour, and all of that on field measures that goes beyond, you know, actually being able to run a 40. So this is not a Devontae Booker or other situation where it's kind of mystical, you know, back in the day and we saw a guy go in the draft and we just assume that he's athletic because there's a couple sites that will, you know, trump it or say, you know, here's what he projects, but we don't really know. And I think with Jonathan Brooks, we do have that confidence. And again, 56 overall, I've said it with a few of these different teams that could go running back in the late second round. This is the prime zone to say it could be right there there for running back one overall. Could be Trey Benson, could be a variety of others, but this is the zone. And again, you've got teams like, if the Dolphins want to jump in, they're ahead of the Cowboys. You've got potentially the Rams that could jump in. You've got the Bengals there at 49. So I think from the mid second to the late second, it's going to be very interesting to see who jumps in and who doesn't. And Tampa Bay, another team right behind the Cowboys, could be in the mix there for running back as well. Other needs, let's look ahead for wide receiver. Jalen Tolbert is one with third round pedigree, but he hasn't done a whole lot. Brandon Cooks is getting older. He's going to be solid for this year, but what's the plan for wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3 as we go forward? That's going to be a key question. CeeDee Lamb, probably going to be a bunch of nothing, but he is holding out and due for a massive contract atop the positional board along with Justin Jefferson and a few others. So CeeDee Lamb's going to be a key player to watch along with Dak Prescott and Micah Parsons as cornerstone players for Dallas. But again, that wide receiver 3 spot in a deep class, that's another direction. Depending on what the Cowboys see at 56 versus 87, that could be a wide receiver plus a running back. And the other thing is there's not as much chatter as there probably should be. Cowboys round 1 wide receiver, if they really want to supplement the position, that's going to be a cheap rookie contract late in the first round as well to offset what CeeDee Lamb is going to be earning in the future. So Cowboys, again, even though, and I don't think tight end Luke Schoonmaker with second round pedigree, and Jake Ferguson keeping Schoonmaker off the field, and he's basically the new Dalton Schultz. I think a better version of Dalton Schultz in terms of upside here. But what a story for Jake Ferguson, producing well as a day 3 younger rookie contract option. That's some equity and it's a positive EV there for the Cowboys, who are going to be paying some of their studs this offseason. But it's going to be a big year, a big rookie haul potential for the Cowboys, just because, again, none of these positions, tight end would surprise me, but running back should be expected. And again, I think Jonathan Brooks would be a great fit, but also one that has the potential to splash the top 6 or 7, even of super flex drafts, because, you know, we're going over Romo Dunze, or, you know, at least one of the big 3 wide receivers would be ahead of QB 3 or 4 potentially. So I think there's upside to extend the window of those strong picks in the mid to later first round of super flex, and definitely help that mid first round of 1 quarterback drafts if we get the round 2 running back going to Dallas. The one thing I would caution with this landing spot is if it's a round 4, if it's a day 3 running back that goes there, have a little more pause in terms of pushing them up, as if pedigree doesn't matter, as if it's the same of a round 2 running back going there. That would be my big word of caution, just because you don't get as much allegiance. I don't think you're going to get off and running to as good of a start there. And it's going to be one where maybe Rico Dowdle can win this, you know, at least early in the season in the hot hand. And it could delay the start a lot of times for that starting role, if it does occur for the day 3 running back rookie. So just keep that in mind, that it is definitely not assumed if it turns into a day 3 back, even if it's a prominent one, because I think we have to remind ourselves, good landing spot, but they fell in the draft by potentially 1 round or even 2 rounds from where you expected them to go. Green Bay Packers, and what a 12 months it's been with Jordan Love. Little down, but a lot of up, a lot of promise there with his first most glaring starting opportunity and string of starts there. And after the Aaron Rodgers era is over, so they've got Jordan Love, new, exciting at the quarterback position. Also, for about 20 minutes, I believe, of free agency, they had Josh Jacobs and Aaron Jones on the roster. Aaron Jones ended up being released, and it's now Josh Jacobs' job. They bring back A.J. Dillon on a low-level deal. He was actually floated out there to free agency a little bit. So to me, this is running back 2. Could be a position that they challenge A.J. Dillon a little bit there. And they have some extra picks. They have 5 picks in the top 91. They've got an extra second round pick. They've got an extra third round selection in addition to their 25 overall first round selection. Wide receiver, they're one of the deepest groups in the league, and not a first round pick among them. Some day 3, also some day 2 options. They are deep, and that's even with the new Will Fuller in the NFL, Christian Watson, and his hamstrings, where you cross your fingers, he's going to specialists. I tend to think that we're going to get that one magical run. Is it 8 weeks, 12 weeks, a whole season there from Christian Watson with his hamstrings holding up? But it may be fleeting. That may be the one big year, the one season in the sun for Christian Watson and his hamstrings. So we will see on that. But obviously a dynamic player that they didn't really have much from him last year. And that was with Jordan Love going off, Jaden Reed producing well, Dontavian Wicks and others. They have had a banner year and banner spring here of adding skill positions, including, in addition to those wide receivers, the tight end position. Luke Musgrave, Tucker Kraft, they doubled up this past year on day two. So this is a team that I do think backup quarterback, you know, it's pretty easy to say that most of these teams need backup quarterbacks, but the Packers don't really have much at the position. So I think it's one behind Jordan Love. You've got to be a little careful in terms of saying, what's our plan? Is it really going to be John Clifford? Because again, he's a bit of a unknown profile. We haven't seen him play much in the NFL, and it's also one where, again, Alex Magoo there as the quote unquote veteran, but he hasn't played much in the NFL as well. So a little bit worried there. And again, with their extra picks, I could see someone like maybe again, and this is a team that, let's remember, and Jordan Love is much younger than these versions, but when they had Brett Favre, they drafted Aaron Rodgers. When they had Aaron Rodgers, they drafted Jordan Love. And so I don't think it would be a first round pick at 25 overall, but I do think on day two, let's not be surprised. What if it's someone like Spencer Rattler in the second round, or maybe he slips to the third round? What if it's someone like Michael Pratt there in the later third round, maybe the fourth round, or it's on day three? So just, I would not be surprised if they, again, as a forward thinking organization, one that we've seen them be proactive with their grades and say, hey, if a quarterback that isn't going to play right now ends up being the best player available, we're not afraid to go that direction. Obviously, that would be a quarterback that doesn't have a lot of outs to be the starter for now. So that would be a tough valuation if there's pedigree involved to say, I want to jump in my Superflex Dynasty League to invest in that, unless it's a pretty unrestricted hold on a taxi squad and you're getting a pretty deep discount. Again, wide receiver, tight end. I think this is one of the teams that we can say that there's minimal odds, considering their depth at wide receiver and especially double dipping at tight end, both of them to some degree showing some promise as a rookie. This is just a tough one. So I think backup quarterback, and I think number three, with challenging maybe AJ Dillon at some point this year, and then moving on and being the running back two in 2025. I think those are the two most likely skill positions here for the Packers. But as I say, it's a deep wide receiver class, so let's not assume things as they continue. We saw with CJ Stroud in Houston, but the Packers might be doing the same of saying, hey, we can just add to wide receiver. Just keep adding. So who's to say at 25, 41, even 58, they don't get a look at a player that they have much higher on their overall board. So exciting things for the Packers. Jordan Love is one that has been very UTH approved in terms of the dynasty team building, whether it's a startup draft, who he's actually going very affordably. So you can easily get Jordan Love as your QB2. In an initial team build here in 2024 startup drafts. And then again, excited about the upside for Josh Jacobs, where again, AJ Dillon coming back. I think that's good news for Josh Jacobs, who they're paying to be a workhorse, and he has been a workhorse. And this is a dynamic offense, much more than the Raiders iteration that he's had in previous seasons. So Josh Jacobs, one to be excited about this year as the rushing frontman for this dynamic Green Bay offense.